when we receive, for example, empowerment of Adi,
which is to dispel and expel negative forces, for example, and also other empowerments, which is not relevant to you, but other empowerments such as to magnetizing power, and other empowerments such as zambala, to develop wealth. So when these deities in empowerments are received, people get non-dharmic perception about the Dharma. For example, you are afraid of ghosts and demons, therefore you practice Vajrapani. Then Vajrapani becomes some kind of your bodyguard. And you want wealth, therefore you practice Zambala. Then you become the Vajrapani, then Zambala becomes some kind of economic advisor and finance management, fund management. And then for fame and power, you practice something like Kurukule. Then she becomes something like your campaign manager. You're campaigning for, you know, some kind of post, which have lots of power. And so this way, the whole thing gets totally twisted. All of these deities are for enlightenment. All of these deities are for enlightenment through overcoming those shortcomings. Powerlessness due to bad karma. Lack of fortune due to bad karma. Lack of protection due to bad karma. So to overcome this, we are practicing these deities, and its ultimate aim is to liberate all sentient beings to reach Buddhahood, not to make me rich, or make me powerful, or make me protected from ghosts, you know. And so this way, I am emphasizing to our venerable monks and nuns as well as lay people about this. And at the same time, I'm telling our lay community, and which will also, I think, be relevant to many of you, the non-Tibetan lay people. Because sometimes we look like very serious Buddhists, but deep inside we are not Buddhist at all. Because our highest priority and our deepest conviction is not for enlightenment. It is for something else. So when that is the case, then whatever is our highest priority and deepest conviction overrules everything else. And this makes us look-alike Buddhist. Not really Buddhist, but look-alike Buddhist. So as a Buddhist, the most important thing we should always remember is, no matter what our kind of immediate sort of less important motivations and needs are, that our ultimate goal is to reach the Buddhahood. For all sentient beings to reach the Buddhahood. That has to be. And I'm telling our Tibetan lay people about how to advise and pass down the lineage of Dharma to their offspring, their children. But for you, it may be slightly different. For you, I might say that don't treat Dharma as stress management method. Okay? You have stress. So overcome your stress, you practice Dharma. It is little strange to me. Stress management, I have lots of friends who are expert in stress management, you know. They make you listen to music, they give you massage, they give you all kind of sound therapy, and they will listen to all of your rubbish. They will let you talk for hours and hours and hours and listen to you and make you pay for it. I think that is the most very effective way, because you say, now I am better because I have paid for it. You know, And it has to be good because it is very expensive. And so I think this is all up here. And it works. I'm not making fun of it. I think it's very good because when people have money to spend and when they have problem to solve and they should spend it on something that will solve their problem. Some of them, without such method, without such service, they might go to a bar and drink until they drop. Drink till drop. And next day, they will find themselves in local sheriff's office for drunk driving. And if fortunate, nobody was hurt except their car. Probably their Ferrari, because they might be in my age and which will be having a midlife crisis and driving a red Ferrari. So they will end up in the local sheriff's office and wake up there very messy and their dear Ferrari is flat outside. So this way it is good. Money well spent. Ferrari, sheriff and therapy. All works. But of course, when you are in Dharma, then you don't treat Dharma that way. Because there is a saying, if you grow harvest like wheat, barley, corn, you don't have to grow hay, because hay will come naturally. If you grow 10 tons of barley, you will have how much hay there? The same way, if you practice Dharma to overcome your defilement, your stress is gone, just like the hay. You know, your stress will be gone. If you say, may I attain Buddhahood, benefit of all sentient beings to attain Buddhahood, if you mean it sincerely, then where is the room for stress? Stress is a joke. There's no room for stress. Because you said, I wanted to make all sentient beings to reach Buddhahood. And no time for stress. Stress. No time for all of those rubbish. Of course, when I want to practice Dharma for me to become powerful, me to become rich, me to become healthy, then of course, all the room is there for stress. So, therefore, I think for many of you, maybe not all of you, for many of you here, and those who are not here, who might be listening to what I'm saying today in the future, this is relevant. Dharma is not just for stress management. Dharma will manage your stress automatically, just like you will have lots of hay when you grow the barley, when you grow the wheat, the same way. And Dharma is for liberating yourself from suffering of samsara and liberating all sentient beings from suffering of samsara. That is the ultimate aim and ultimate goal of Dharma practice. And everything else will happen as the result and side effect of that ultimate goal. So I felt that this time should be used for explaining few simple but important points. So I hope this is important enough to be brought up here.